One of my favourite films is Moulin Rouge. It's a bit of a tragedy, but it's got all about friends who are doing a show together, and they love each other, and this group of friends become like family, and it's about family love, friendship love, a bit of romance and tragedy in there as well. And the pursuit in the film is this little thing they call, which is, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And out of everything we could pursue in life, in this little movie, they say the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return. And that just goes with that basic human need that we have to be loved and to love in return. And so it's quite fitting that the song that they played in there, your song, my gift is my song, how wonderful life is now you're in the world. I felt like that, Matthew, on the day that you were born. How wonderful the world is now you're, how wonderful life is now you're in the world. Favourite child. Now, that song was actually written by a guy called Bernie Taupin. Now, he wrote it at the age of 17. He was just 17. And he was a boy who lived in the Lincolnshire countryside, and he was out there doing some farming and stuff like that. But really, his passion was music and songwriting. And one day, do you remember those who remember the magazine NME, the music magazine? And he saw an advert in there for a songwriter for Liberty Records in London. And so he got himself down to London. He applied for the job, and they said, actually, we just had a guy arrived at the desk he wasn't called Elton John then, he's called Reg Dwight or something like that. Anyway, but Elton John. And Elton John had seen the same advert, but he said, I can't write songs, I can sing and I can play keys. And so they put the two together because Bernie could write lyrics. And so it works out that Bernie, one morning, he sat at the table in Elton John's mum's kitchen. Now, the reason I know this, if you can see here, this is the 50-year challenge on the screen rather than the 10-year challenge. Here is Bernie in 1970 with Elton, both age 17. And then this is 50 years later. He was interviewed and he said, there's such mystery around the song that I wrote. I'm going to put the record straight. No, I didn't sit on the roof and kick off the moss. I don't think any teenager could be sitting on a roof in London, but actually, I was at Elton John's mum's table having breakfast, and I pulled over a notepad, and I just felt, I mean, at the time, Elton John said, no, that's about your girlfriend. But he said, no, it's about all love. It's about all love, that it's wonderful, how wonderful life is now you're in the world. And he wrote that little song on a piece of paper. It got released the next year, and it became one of the greatest songs. It's in the 500 greatest songs of all time. Now, apparently, Elton came home and wrote the melody in 20 minutes, like a genius does. And so between them, this was like a humble start. And over 50 years, they've written many songs together, as Bernie's written for other people as well. And in 2013, this song became in the Grammy Hall of Fame. And I want to ask, what is it about this song, your song, that we just listened to? It is an amazing song, but what is it about this song that Bernie wrote at the kitchen table that just echoes the human heart for love? That we would love and be loved in return. How wonderful life is now you're in the world. And our human heart is made for love, because we're made in God's image. He is love, and we are made for love and to love. Now, I want to pose a question this morning. How would it change our lives for the better if this year we could grow in our ability to give and receive love? How would that impact your life? I know how it'd impact my life. How would it change our life if this year we could grow in our ability to give love and to receive love? And so in 2019, a year to grow, we have to recognize that our life's experiences knock us a little bit. And so sometimes in life's journey, things have happened to us that affect our ability to give and receive love. But the good news is this, that with Jesus, we can find healing and strength to move on and love again and know how to give and receive love, and it's never too late. There's sometimes a point in our lives where we say, do you know, this is the moment and this is the year to be healed up from some of life's journey that I can learn to give love and receive love again. So it's never too late to grow. So we're going to look this morning, we've only got a little bit of time, but we're going to look at a starting place of how can we give and receive love. And of course, it all starts with God's love. That is the starting place. Because God is the creator of love. But not only that, he is love. It's his character. It's who he is. And in John 1:4-8, John says, God is love. So it's not just something he does, but it's who he is. His very character. He cannot stop loving you. It's not like a loving day and not a loving day. He is love. He loves you. He is love himself. It's who it is. He is. So just like an apple tree grows apples, it can do nothing else because it's an apple tree. And God will always love you and never stop loving you to the very end of time and beyond, because time won't end. His love is for you. And because we are made in God's image, we are made for love. That's why it's so basic to the human heart. In 1 John 4, John also writes, we love because he first loved us. When we realize how much he loves us, it brings a response of love. And he says, dear friends, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. And we know that Jesus commanded us to love one another. So if we can grasp God's character, this is the starting place. There is no other starting place. It's not like, okay, I'll just leave God over there. Just give me some self-help books to love you better. No, because the starting place is what happens in our head and our mind and our heart and our spirit of grasping that God is love and he loves me. And so the fact that he loves us, that's where it starts. And Paul explains it like this. Now, sometimes I think, this year, if we can grasp God's character and understand his love, it's a game changer. That is what will change. It will change everything. Sometimes it's hard to give love if we feel unloved, and it's hard to receive love if we feel unworthy. But today, God wants to wrap us around in his love and grasp it. So here's how Paul explains it in a letter to the Ephesians church. And we're going to look at the verse and we're going to kind of unpack it a little bit. So here we go, Ephesians 3:16-19. This is Paul praying a prayer for the Ephesians church. And he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now we're going to unpack this a little bit. So here we go, right? The first part of it is this. He's saying, I pray that out of his glorious riches, think now, glorious riches without end. God has no want. It is not finite. It is not small. It's like, oh, I can only, how much is that coffee? I can only afford that. No, it is glorious riches. It's more than we need, glorious riches, that he may strengthen you. Would you like to be stronger? Would you like to know that you're strengthened? He will strengthen you, and he will strengthen us with power. So this is a power, a spiritual power that helps us live an overcoming life. Through his spirit in your inner being, this is the very core of us, the very core of us. He wants to come and strengthen us in our very inner core with power. So that, what is all this power and strength for? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Now, if you go back and listen to what Julian talked on last week, it all starts and ends with faith. That as Jesus dwells in our heart by faith, we have Jesus in us and his love in us, working out our healing and our love to other people. Great. I'm excited already. And the second part, another part of the prayer, second part of the prayer. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Now note here, this is like a plant. Now when a plant is planted, so I like doing plants, I'm not very good at it, but I do quite like doing it. You go to like, you know, B&Q or somewhere, you buy a plant, you bring it back, and then you put it in the soil. It has to be rooted. But that those little roots, while they're growing, they're not that strong, but there comes a time when it's established. And nothing will get it out. You've got to dig this thing out. So Paul is praying for us to be rooted and established in love. So what are our roots in? Our roots are in love, in the love of God. We're strengthened in our spirit with Jesus in us, and we are rooted in love because God is love. And not just rooted, but established. Would you like a bit more roots in your life? Would you like to feel rooted and established and stable? Well, that comes by understanding the love of God. And it goes on, what is this rooting and establishing in love for? It's to grasp. That's what we need. We need to grasp it. It will change everything. And what we need to grasp is how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. Now, I want you to look at this large room for a moment, right? I want you to look how wide this room is. And how long this room is, and how high and how deep. Imagine this whole room is filled with love just for you. Just for you, this whole room. This is a measure of love just for you. That's pretty awesome. But it's bigger than that. Because the width and the length and the depth is over the whole universe. A massive download of love for you. And Paul prays, I pray you can grasp that. Can you grasp that? That love is for you. It will heal the knocks and things that have happened in life's journey. And then he says this, I pray you'll grasp how wide, long, deep, and high is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. How can you know something that surpasses knowledge? But he says, I just pray that you will know this love. It's like too hard to understand, but we grasp it in our spirit by faith. And there's an end result of all this, that we may be filled. And how are we filled? To the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow, that's amazing. What a prayer. I encourage you to go home, read that, meditate on it. It is the love of God that we are rooted and grounded, and that changes everything. And that is the starting place for us. And there is no other shortcut. It is finding that we are totally loved and secure. And the second thing about love, obviously, is Jesus himself. Jesus came into the world that people could see what God is like. And through his love and all that is written down of what he did with people and how he expressed love, of course, the ultimate thing about his love is he went all the way to the cross for us and laid everything down. So we see in his life a demonstration of his love and care with people. And then in John 15:13, John writes, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And that's what Jesus said to his disciples. He was going to lay it all down because of his love for us. And when we enter into a relationship with him, we are safe and secure with our sins forgiven. And he made a way for us to belong in the spiritual family. Forgiven, belonging, secure. We have an inheritance and it will never be taken away. In John 10:28, Jesus says this, I give eternal life, and you will never die, and no one can steal you out of my hand. And that is the starting place where we belong, we are loved, and we grasp it. So I just want to pause for a moment in this talk. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. And I want to encourage you to just let this understanding wash over you and take a moment to receive his love and say, Lord, I receive your love. You are forgiven. You are loved. How high, how deep is the Lord's love for you? So I pray that we will grasp it. So out of this love, we grow in our love for others, growing in security to be able to give love and receive love. Okay, the next point. You were enjoying that. You paused for ages. But should we pause again? Okay, so number three. So number one, the starting place is with God. And number two, what Jesus did for us on the cross and the demonstration of how he treats people. And when we grasp that, I encourage you to go away, meditate and grasp that. So number three is how. And I'm going to pin down just a few practicalities. Now, really, you could do a week's workshop on how to love one another. So here's just a few I'm going to throw in. These are just a few that I thought of. Okay, so first of all, practical things, giving love. Okay, so we are commanded by Jesus to love one another. What are some little things we can do to help us love each other? Okay, number one. We need to initiate friendship. Friends make our life rich. If we want to go from now all the way to our old age, we would be wise to make friends. It's better than money in the bank. And so take the initiative to initiate making friendships. Don't go, oh, I don't think I was invited over. Well, invite everybody over yourself. Take the initiative. And that way we show love, but also we build friends. Number two, be other people-centered. So it's easy to just be centered on our own needs, my own life, my own needs, my own feelings, and we forget to look out. But when we are other-centered and we start to look to people, that way, not being self-centered, it's about me all the time, it's not my needs, it's your needs. And then when we look out, we see other people's needs, love will flow to help meet those needs. So let's take the focus off ourselves. Number three, in giving love, we need to sometimes put ourselves in someone else's shoes. So things that would scare me won't scare you. Things that scare you might not scare me. Things that make me stressed might not stress you. But so we have to put ourselves sometimes in someone else's shoes. We can't say, I don't know what all the fuss is about, because it might not bother us, but it bothers someone else. So taking time when you can see with a friend or a loved one or a family member to put ourselves in the other person's shoes and say, can I find a way to see their point of view? And in that way, we're really showing and giving love. Okay, number four. We all have a deep desire to be heard. And there's a difference, really, between being heard and being listened to. Sometimes me and Julian are chatting, and I can see him glaze over, and he's like just somewhere else in the universe or something. And I'm chatting about something really trivial about, you know, and then I went in the shop, and then I couldn't get the refund, and I had to queue up, and I just see him glaze over. And then I'll say, are you listening? And he goes, yes, you got a refund for £10 instead of 15. And I know it's just somehow repeating the last thing I said. And don't we have a desire to really be heard? Not that just someone's listening, but that we are truly heard. We have a deep desire to be understood. Now, a couple of Christmases ago, the children bought Julian this little gadget, Alexa. And here is Alexa in our lounge, right? And the first thing we discovered when Alexa is set up, that Alexa is listening to everything. And so you're watching a film on TV and suddenly Alexa perks up and goes, in San Francisco, it's 28 degrees. And it's like, just because it sounded like someone on the TV said something sort of like Alexa. The most hilarious thing was that when the kids told Julian it's Alexa, he couldn't quite get the name right for the first week. So it was Adjuncta, Alexa, Alusa, Ajax, anything. But you know, so it wouldn't answer unless you say Alexa. But then it's just like listening when we're chatting and starts piping up. I'll make that the last joke. Sorry. Maybe I won't. Now, wouldn't it be sad if the only person really listening in your house is Alexa? Yeah. And we can give love by listening to one another, that we feel heard. And there's a theologian and a pastor who's written many books. And can we go to the next slide? His name's David Augsburger, okay? He's American, it sounds like. Why don't you just put cheeseburger? But there we are. He says this, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they're almost indistinguishable. So when we give somebody the gift of listening, that they feel really heard, it feels like love. I think we can all do that. Okay, next one. Now, I love mugs. I mean, I don't know if I'm weird, but I do love mugs. But I love certain types of mugs, and I can't help buying them. And then when the kids come home or they come over, they're like, "Mum, there's so many mugs in this cupboard. Can't you throw some away?" So I like go to the back, to the ones maybe were given years ago, and I make a bit of a gesture of moving them around, putting them on the top. They might find their way back, they might not. But, you know, I get told off every now and then. But I can't help it. And if I go shopping, especially Sainsbury's have lovely mugs, really pretty, just like this one. And if I'm drinking a cup of tea, I'm sorry, but it's got to be out of fine bone china with a thin rim. I'm really fussy. I can't be doing builder's tea in a big mug. And so, you know, so I collect these mugs, and the children are like really frustrated with me. But the thing that frustrates them more is when these mugs get chipped. And so they then, the chipped mugs, I can't throw them away. They find their way to the garden. Now, this picture is a bit small. You might not be able to see all the chips and cracks in these mugs. But I love them so much. I have a favorite mug for my tea. I will drink it to almost the handles falling off. And it's kind of a picture of us. For us in life, we get little knocks, we get chips. There is a day when it falls apart or the handle comes off, as this one has. And then they get really frustrated. And they're like, "Mum, these even have chips. I mean, you've got to take them. You've got to take them out. I can't give them away." And so, you know, throw them in the bin. So they go out and they end up smashed in the bottom of a plant pot, recycling. And then I know they're there in my heart. I know they're still there, buried at the bottom, and there's beauty coming through. But with you and I, sometimes with our relationships are fragile. Like one of my little fine bone china mugs, they're fragile. And sometimes we can chip away at our relationships. Just little comments, just a little bit of undermining, just a bit of anger, just a bit of carelessness. And we're chipping away. It's like knocking something, just chipping it, just a little chip. Like washing something up, just not very carefully in the sink. And sometimes in our relationships, just, you know, chipping away, little dig, little negativity, little unkindness. And if we're not treating our relationships with value and respect, we start to chip away. And if we're not careful, maybe that might even break. Or become unusable, or we can't drink out of it anymore, or it becomes buried somewhere. And so I want to encourage us, let us give love and make sure we're not just chipping away at our friends, our loved ones, and thinking they can handle it. Sometimes you think somebody's so strong, they can handle it. I want to encourage you, teenagers and young people in the room here, you know, sometimes when things are going tough, we can take it out on our parents. But our parents feel pain too. And they might be smiling to your face, but they hurt in their heart every time you have a go. It's really hard. I can remember that journey in our own home with teenagers. And, you know, they really tried their best to be respectful and kind. But there's occasions when things are said that it's wounding, it's hard. So young people, I encourage you, treat your parents with respect. Don't just treat them like a mug, chip, 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 chip. But honor them and love them. The Bible says, to honor our parents. And with those of us in friendships, with relationships, with husbands, with wives, let's not take one another for granted, that we are just chip, 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 chip away at something that is valuable. But actually, we treasure what we have. And that's number 7. Treasure what we have. Invest in it. Guard it. Build it. Don't take it for granted. Relationships are not easy, so let's give our best to them. I like this week, I couldn't find it to put on the screen, but Craig Rochelle put something on Instagram. There was him and his wife in the snow, you know, with his arm round, and somebody put hashtag, special relationships or invest in relationships, can't remember the... Relationship goals, that's right. And thank you very much. And I knew somewhere there. And he's still speaking to me. And so hashtag relationship goals. And he wrote underneath, "I just want everyone who looks at this picture to know this is hard. Everything worth having is hard. The relationship and the family relationships we've built is hard. We have laughed, we have cried, we have talked, we have forgiven. And don't just look at pictures, but look what's behind the picture." And so let's make sure that we treasure what we have, we invest in it, we guard the unity. Let's be careful not to wound one another. And Matthew, when he talked about growing in gratitude, that's so essential for relationships, isn't it? If we grow in gratitude and show respect. And number 9, unconditional love, like Adam was talking about earlier. Unconditional love is the love that God shows us. One of my favorite verses is when it says, "While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." That gives me great hope. I never had to be cleaned up to be saved by Jesus. While I was still a sinner, he died for me. I didn't have to try and prove it, to make it, to beg him. He died for me while I was still a sinner. Now I'm rescued into his family and I live in his love. You and I, we live in the love of God, and he gives us love, no strings attached. And that's the kind of love we have to give to each other. That we don't love you if you behave this way, love you if you behave that way. I'll withhold love if you don't help me. And we need to be walking in unconditional love with our children, our friends, our partners, and with the church family. That our love is like the Lord's and it's unconditional. Okay, so that's just a little bit. It's just a starting place of giving love. Do you think we could do some of those maybe? Okay, so the next part is receiving love. Now, this should sound easy, shouldn't it? Receiving love should sound easy. But it's not always as easy as it sounds. It's a bit like parcels. Now, I had a revelation at Christmas. I saw a little thing come up on my feed on my phone of porch parcel thieves. I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know, but it is. A lot of people have little films on their porch, and there's all these films of people seeing a parcel on your doorstep and just coming up and taking it. So, you know, when you know with a parcel, if you're not going to be in, and there's a whole list of shed, garage, neighbour, and I'm thinking, there's no, like, just leave it by the front door. You know, I'll be home later, just leave it by the front door. But that's because people just take them. So receiving a parcel is not always easy, is it? Because you might come home, but somebody has taken that. And sometimes in life, things have happened in our life that makes it hard to receive love because something's been taken from us. Or isn't it annoying with parcels when you miss it and you think, oh, I'd have been home in 10 minutes. Now I've got to drive to Gesinnen, pick up place. When you go there, the first time I've ever been there, you can't tell where's the entrance, I just parked in the middle, literally in the middle of the car park, and wandered around, and I found this little lady in a booth behind a glass, got my parcel. And when I came out and came to my car, there's a man doing the same thing. He parked at a wild angle and he's looking around. So I ran down my window and I said, it's over there, see that little door? And he's like, yeah, that is the door you go in. Picking up your parcel, receiving your parcel is so complicated. And then I hate it the day you actually are in and you're in pyjamas and have to answer the door and sign. And it's like, this is just not a good moment. Bit of a cough. Maybe think to me like, the time they put it on the Wendy House porch and just made the decking fall off. That was not good. And in the same way as receiving a parcel can be complex, sometimes for some of us, receiving love is hard. And we don't realize it till we start to struggle with it. Or somebody gives you a present and you're a bit funny about it, can't take it. Or somebody gives you a compliment and you can't really handle it. Or somebody wants to really be committed to you and you just want to be a bit distant to them. And so these are our struggles sometimes with receiving love. Now, I just want to encourage you that on life's journey, when we've had struggles that have affected us, maybe past wounds, we've been left with fear and trust issues, maybe we feel unworthy, or we have anger or rejection, the starting place for these is to go back to God's love. That is the only place to go. We could be up here with a four-hour seminar on how to be healed from our wounds, but essentially it's coming back to God's love. Speak to somebody if you need to, get help, pursue help with somebody, but understanding and resting in God's love is the starting place for healing. And then we persevere, and sometimes we might need to put boundaries in place in our life with people who might regularly be wounding us. We have to do those boundaries. But like I say, that's another talk. But moving on to a few things of how we receive love. One of the things that might help us recognize how we receive love and how other people receive love might help us in this pursuit of love. And there's a guy called Dr. Gary Chapman, who's a pastor and an author, and he wrote The Five Love Languages, where everything is like filtered down to five main ways we receive love. So I want you to just test for yourself now as we go through these. What are the ways you think are your love language? And then you can go and get his book and be an expert, because these are just headlines. And so let's recognize the way we receive love, and then we can recognize how our friends or family receive love and give it to them in that style. So here we go. Number one, Number one is words. So some people receive love by words. That's their primary love language, whether it's words written down or words spoken. They need words, and there's this deep human need to feel appreciated in our relationships, and verbal language or words makes us feel we're appreciated, we're loved, we're understood. So for many people, it's words. Number two, for some people, it's quality time. Now, by quality time, it doesn't necessarily mean the length of time, but it means the time I am with you, I am with you. I am with you. I have your focused and undivided attention. Now, a few months ago, Julian and I went to dinner somewhere, and I looked around the room in this restaurant, and I was really looking forward to being on our own, being at this restaurant, and as I looked around the rest of the room, all the couples and families were all on their phones, like this, sat around the restaurant, everybody. I said to Julian, look at that. He looked around, and it's like, here we are. You know, you go to dinner with a friend or with a partner or a family member, and we're all on our phones. Maybe we're recording how happy this event is that we haven't spoken for half an hour. But it's like, it's weird. And so for some people, they need that quality time that says, I see you, eye to eye, you matter. That we're not just in the same room. It's like this, especially for children. They say, you know, you're cooking dinner, doing something at the sink. You know, they like to be chatting. They're in the kitchen hanging out, chatting. But there are moments where they just want to see you face to face, not just to chat over the shoulder. So for some people, it's quality time. Number three is gifts. And maybe we all like a gift. But for some people, gifts aren't really their language. But other people, gifts are a visible, tangible symbol of love. Now, I know you love me because here it is. You gave me this beautiful 30-use bottle. And that's why I just know that I'm loved, because it's visible and it's tangible. And it's interesting, Dr. Gary Chapman says that the most common response he has to that is that people will say, well, when I was growing up, we didn't do presents, so I don't know how to. And he says this is the easiest one to learn, because you just look at your friend or relative or church, someone in the church, and go, I see they like that. Or I see she never has chewing gums with her. Or I see he's always asking for paracetamol. That's an easy thing I can do. And so it's finding out what somebody likes and to give to them. And that is one of the easiest to learn. Number four is service. And service is, for some people, it's like, okay, the words and the gifts, that's great, that's fine. I love being around you, quality time. But the thing that really hits me is service. When you serve me, when you help, when you actually do stuff. Because after all, actions speak louder than words. And Gary Chapman, he quotes things like, getting a spouse's car ready for winter without even being asked. There we are. Or putting out the trash, or washing up, or hoovering, or helping with a task, or things like that. So things that we're doing a task to help somebody, for some people, that's the language they go, I know you really love me when you help me with those things. And lastly, number five is touch. And for some people, they've grown up in a family where physical touch, hugs and kisses is like, you know, that is normal. And then you go out into the world and find that's not normal for everybody. But for some people who are wired up this way, they need that reassuring touch on the shoulder, a goodbye, watching TV not at the opposite ends of the sofa but close to each other, these type of things. And child development studies have showed that babies who are held and kissed and stroked grow up to have a healthier emotional life than those who are left for long periods with no physical contact. Okay, so that's interesting. So it's easy, he suggests, to fill the emotional tank of someone who's wired up that way, because you might not know what to say, you might not have money in your pocket to buy a gift, but you can just go up and have a lovely hug. This is if it's an appropriate thing to have a hug. Please just all come up and hug me after. that you have a hug, and that's the emotional tank full. So really important for our children too. So which is your love language? These are some of the ways that we receive love. So when we talk about giving and receiving love, when we recognize the way we receive love, it helps us not to diminish other people's attempts. So supposing you're a touch person, but somebody gives you love through words, then we mustn't despise that love. We go, oh, I can see words is their love language. So I need to learn to receive that and not just go, I'd have rather had a hug. You know, so we can learn about receiving. So to come towards the conclusion of this talk, so Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthian church, he described love in a particular way. And this is a very famous passage, but it does kind of sum up what we've been looking at. And in 1 Corinthians 13, he says this. I'll read the first little bit, then we put the other part on the screen. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's just illustrating a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. It's a bit like I have this washing machine. It's really handy. It bleeps when the washing's done. Does anyone have one of those? It bleeps when the washing's done. It's really handy because if you're somewhere else in the house, you can hear and it bleeps. And you go, oh, that's really useful. Great. And then you forget about it. It bleeps again. You go, oh, that's really useful. Then it bleeps again. After the sixth bleep, you're like, all right, shut up. I can hear you. I can hear you. All right. Mine is finished. All right. And it's a bit like this. It's like, you know, I can do all these amazing things, but if I don't have love, it's just irritating. It just rubs. It's not, it doesn't help. I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal or the washing machine going, ee, 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 ee. If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but I don't have love, I gain nothing, because love is patient. Let's read this together. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's amazing, isn't it? That's the love that God has for us, and that is the pursuit of love for each other. So just to finish, on holiday, do you ever find, like last year we had a heat wave. It was so hot, wasn't it? Now for me, there's only one or two drinks that really hit the spot. You know, if you're like really, really hot. And so if we're on holiday, especially like in Spain, they do a little local beer that's ice cold. And you sit down, and it's just a couple of sips. And Julian takes the mickey out of me because I always say, that hit the spot. And every time, so now I'm drinking, and I'm going to see, and I can see his face going, so I'm like, that hit the spot. Now, maybe for you it's a cold Coke or iced water, I don't know. But the thing they do when you have a cold drink like that, if you notice, they always give you crisps or salted peanuts, something salty. So you have your drink, you're chatting, picking away at the peanuts or the crisps. It makes you more thirsty, so you need another one. And so I've got some little presents for you here. I hope your love language is gifts. So here, little packet of crisps for you to take home. Maybe the cleaning team won't appreciate it if you eat them here, so take them home. Okay, but this is for you. These crisps make us thirsty. I just want to make you thirsty today. I want to make you thirsty to pursue love. We can't in a short time just cover it all, but I want to make you thirsty. Thirsty to pursue the things of God. Jesus said himself, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you want to be filled with all the fullness of God? So I want you to take this packet of crisps home and eat them today as a reminder that we get thirsty. Seek out the treasures of God. Do a study on love. Today is just a starting point. But let's get thirsty to receive the love of God and to give it out to others and to learn to receive it ourselves. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your amazing love for us. So high and deep and wide and long, we cannot fathom. And I pray today we would just grasp it. How much you love us. I pray, Lord, you will heal us where in human relationships we have felt unloved or unworthy, because that's not how you see us. I pray that we'd be able to lift our head high with confidence. We are loved by the King And that is what matters. So I pray even now, Lord, as we grasp your love, that you will heal us. And Lord, I pray for each of us, we will be a church overflowing with love. Help us, Lord, as we show love to one another. We become experts at showing love to each other, that the world will know that you are true. So bless us, Lord, today, I pray, and may we be thirsty, thirsty for you and thirsty to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.